Warning: this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Generations. Welcome. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a pastor. I'm executive director of Christian Home Educators of Colorado. But the reason I'm here today, I'm a father of five. I have Daniel, Emily, Rebecca, Bethany, and Abigail. They got all five of them there. And Dave Buhner in studio with me today, our producer, of course. Today we have a number of issues to look at. And, of course, this program looks at the world through a biblical worldview and with a long-term vision of generations in mind. A couple of dads here in studio with you. Issue number one, and this comes from our Islam's such a peaceful religion department. Troops and law officers out in Indonesia are on high alert after attackers beheaded three Christian high school girls. Serious problem. They wounded two other students, and authorities are suspecting the attack was carried out by
the Amish.
No. No, Muslim is extremist again.
Oh, I was going to guess Presbyterians next.
No. Turned out it was Muslims again. Issue number two, and Dave, you remember we talked about Good News Tattoos?
Left a mark on me.
At the Christian Booksellers Association meeting several months ago. Well, now we have a Christian pastor who is producing Jesus tattoos. He's putting Jesus on everybody. And he does not want pentagrams or the number 666 in his repertoire. Doesn't have that, so you can't get 666.
Can you get 999?
You can get 999, which is of course the 666 upside down, or you can get 667. But for some reason, he will not tattoo 666 on your arm. Now, the Christian Tattoo Association, of which he is a part, has several hundred members. Evidently, they're saying that Bible verses like Leviticus 19:28, which says don't put a tattoo on you, these verses are outdated. Now, I'm not sure what the position on blood is, because Leviticus also says don't eat blood and don't get into intimate acts with animals. I've yet to see their position on these. But, you know, Dave, I wonder when it will be when we will see the CVA, the Christian Vampires Association, because, as everybody knows, Leviticus is outdated.
Now, he actually gives tattoos with, like, Jesus on it and profits from that, I suppose.
Yeah, he's been commended by this article. Brian's ministry reaches the Gothics and other people who are marginalized by our usual standards of lifestyle, says Reverend Dave Clausen, pastor of Mayfair Plymouth Congregational Christian Church. And this comes from, I'm looking for the city, somewhere West Toledo, wherever that is.
So these people are marginalized, but the law of God is not marginalized.
Right, exactly. Now, you know, this brings up the question, if you were to be a missionary to cannibals, how would you reach out to cannibals? You know, some want to reach out with God to Gothics by putting tattoos all over their bodies. How would you reach out to cannibals, though, based on that word?
I think you'd have them over for dinner.
Chi-ching, got it. Okay, let's move on to the next subject here right away, as soon as we can. All right, folks, efforts to compromise with the Vatican. Now, this comes all the way from the Vatican. They have issued a stout defense of Charles Darwin now, voicing strong criticism of Christian fundamentalists like us, I guess, who reject his theory of evolution and interpret the biblical account. As Cardinal Paul Papardi's head of the Pontifical Council of Culture said, the Genesis description of how God created the universe and Darwin's theory of evolution are, quote-unquote, perfectly compatible if the Bible were read correctly. All right, so natural selection, the millions of years, the death before the fall, et cetera, perfectly compatible with Scripture. The evolution of man, perfectly compatible with Scripture. Now, you know, I'm having a hard time with that, Dave, because, you know, God pulling a little dust together, breathing the breath of life, getting man. I'm really having a hard time seeing the perfect compatibility between Charles Darwin and the Bible. But the Vatican have come out with the proclamation, so I guess...
Well, clearly, you're not reading it correctly. You're reading it in the natural sense, not in the correct sense.
I guess not. I'm not reading it in the Darwinian sense. I'm not using my Darwinian hermeneutics for Genesis 1 through 3. Now, these efforts to compromise, I found to be hysterical. Because, Dave, you know, we know that Darwin has really been outdated. I mean, he's been outdated for 100 years, and I'm not sure old Poupard was aware of this. He's not compromising, he's not keeping his compromise up with where scientific inquiry has gone.
Because Darwin's whole system of natural selection is, well, they didn't find any transitional forms. That was a big problem.
Well, neither did they find a mechanism. Yeah, so basically, they ended up with no evidence. Yeah. They ended up with an empty bag. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're going to compromise, I mean, compromise with something with maybe just a little less baggage. But here he is, 150 years after Darwin, 100 years after Darwin has basically been outdated, and he is trying to compromise. You gotta be impressed by the fact that he is trying to compromise his epistemology to a naturalistic, materialistic, humanist theology. But, you know, I mean, he's just a little late in the game. Well, if old Poupard had said that punctuated equilibrium was perfectly compatible with Scripture, maybe he would have looked better. You know, he would have kowtowed the epistemology of the high priests of science and looked good using something like punctuated equilibrium. And a mechanism that isn't really a mechanism, but at least it's a theory, a new theory that outdates natural selection. Anyway, while the Vatican is rushing up to support Darwin, who's starting to lose a little face about everywhere else, you have the Kansas School Board of Education raising questions about the validity of Darwinian theory. So we're going to talk about that next on Generations. Folks, just a day or two ago, the Kansas School Board of Education has raised some questions. Maybe Darwin was wrong. And we'll be back in a moment on Generations. Folks, we're back. This is Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Today, the subject is creation and evolution. While you have the cardinal at the Vatican kowtowing to the evolutionary theory, or at least the Darwinian theory, you also have the Kansas School Board now taking the conservative side and saying maybe Darwin was wrong. Well, there's some history on this one, Dave. You may remember in 1999, the Kansas School Board removed almost all references to evolution in the curricula in Kansas. And then in 2001, they restored evolution. This was after, I think, they kicked a lot of the good guys out.
Well, there was a big fight by the NEA that spent most of their national budget at overturning that school board because the NEA felt so strongly about Darwin, they could not have a state school board that was sort of censoring Darwin.
So they dumped some $100 million or whatever it was and turned these guys out. But by last week, this is 2005 now, 6 years later, now the Kansas School Board is including some scientific criticisms of the evolutionary theory in the scientific curriculum for Kansas schools. So they have taken a little bit more of a moderate stand, but they're moving conservative. They're moving towards the creation position again.
One might say that the Kansas School Board itself is evolving.
Yes, they are. And evolving in terms of their philosophy or their basic worldview. Now, of course, the scientific response to this, or at least the response from the evolution community on this, is just horror, utter horror. Because if you introduce some criticisms of the evolutionary theory into the curriculum in Kansas, you are bringing a chink into the armor. You're suggesting there may be a problem. Now, here's the question I think that these evolutionists are considering. Can we afford to allow one little guy in the crowd pointing out the bare form of the emperor? I mean, again, one little guy. You have 100,000 people saying, wow, this emperor looks good. You have one little guy suggesting there may be a lack of clothing on the emperor. You got a problem there, don't you, Dave?
Well, you do, because evolutionists are religious fundamentalists.
Yes, they are.
And they are so fundamentally married to this idea that there is no God, therefore evolution must be true, that anything that would cast doubt on that, even some empirical data, so undermines their worldview that they would have nowhere to turn. You are shaking their world when you let that guy say the emperor has no clothes.
And Dave, a tenuous theory anyway, and we've talked about this before, evolution is not science, it's not observable, it's not repeatable, it's not science. Evolution doesn't produce the pieces that produce the mechanism. There is no data. The pieces in the fossil record that should be there indicating the slight changes from form to form just are not there. They have no evidence. The bottom line with evolution is it's a tenuous theory. You take one little card out and the whole house of cards falls down. And, of course, the worldview sets on this, too. They've got a worldview. It's naturalism. And if you lose evolution, if you lose chance development of what we see today, you lose naturalism and you may wind up with a god.
And that's the problem. It's blasphemous in their eyes to cast a doubt on their religion, their fundamentalist religion of naturalism. So when you stand up and say, wait a minute, the evidence here doesn't support that, that in their mind, in their religious system, is akin to blasphemy. You're a heretic now, and you need to be burned at the stake.
Now, Dave, I put this in my court. Let's say that myself as a Christian stood up in the Kansas school board meeting and said, you know what, I want nothing but creationism, and I want nothing whatsoever in the curricula that would suggest that there might be a problem with creationism. What do you think the enemies of creation would say to that? They'd call me a dogmatic fool, wouldn't they?
Well, you would be getting a call from your local ACLU chapter, to be sure, and I imagine that the First Amendment would be brought up in all kinds of contexts, even ones that wasn't intended, but you would quickly be censored, because you would be a heretic to the naturalists.
But when evolutionists do this, when evolutionists say, hey, I've got my orthodoxy, and nobody is going to introduce anything into the curricula that would introduce any kind of doubt, we're not going to look at any data at all that might introduce a shred of doubt in my evolutionary theory, they're not dogmatic. They're fair and balanced. They're like Fox News.
It's been said when it comes to origins, you have two choices. You can either use your imagination or you can look to revelation. And there's no middle ground, because there is no scientific naturalistic interpretation. There is only rocks. There's only data. You have to come up with that interpretation yourself. You either imagine how those rocks got there, or you look to God's word to reveal how they got there. You have no other choice. So you have these two fundamental concepts of truth and origins going head to head, and there is no compromise. There is no middle ground.
Yeah, you have all these different people in the story. Francisco Ayala, biology professor at the University of California, Irvine. American children are consistently falling behind those of other nations in their knowledge and understanding of science. Yeah, if we introduce any doubt in terms of evolution, the mechanism that we claim developed whatever we see today and it's all its complexity, if we introduce any doubt whatsoever, then we're going to be behind the third world nations in terms of science and math. I'm afraid that's not what's contributing to the decline of science and math. Well, why are these evolutionists so jumpy about introducing any doubt whatsoever? Reminds me of the lawyer in Saturday Night Live. You remember this guy who would always say, I'm not defensive, you're being defensive. I get that impression when I see these scientists not wanting to see any doubt introduced to their theory.
Well, one of the reasons science may be falling behind is because scientists are not practicing science. Yeah. Doubt is one of the basic mechanisms to do science. You have a theory. You doubt that theory. You test that theory. Yeah. You doubt your testing, so you have somebody else test that theory to make sure it collaborates with your testing. You go through a series of doubts until you can say more authoritatively that this theory is actually somewhat true. And evolutionists are refusing to go through the scientific process to state a scientific postulate.
And just like that lawyer in Saturday Night Live, I think they've got something to hide. I think they're hiding something. There's something behind the curtain, and they don't want us to see it.
Professing to be wise, they became fools. I read that somewhere.
All right, but why are these evolutionists fighting so hard to squeeze out every mention of potential doubt in the curriculum in Kansas, besides the fact that it's not science, and there's no transitional forms, and they're dealing with mathematical impossibilities, and their dating is presupposition-laden, et cetera, et cetera. All these problems. Besides all of that, why are they fighting so hard? Evidently, they've got an agenda here.
Well, I've got a theory. And bear with me. Okay. The theory is that the natural man is at enmity with God. That's my theory.
I think that's a good theory. I've heard that somewhere. I think it may be in the Word of God. Well, I think the reason they're fighting so hard is they want our children. The education of the children is how you control the minds of the next generation. It's how you control their metaphysics, their epistemology, their politics, their psychology, everything. It's how they are going to control the culture of the next generation. We know this. Education is very powerful. We have discussed this time and again. Dave, you have five children. I have five children. I am fighting for the minds and the souls of my children. And I do it on this program, and I do it at home, and I do it with the curriculum.
We're fighting over the minds and the souls of our children, and these people are fighting for it too. This is the battle between good and evil. This battle has existed for a while.
You make it sound like the forces battling against us have a generational vision themselves, that they have a vision into time that maybe we are lacking.
Oh, absolutely. Worldviews are clashing here. How in the world is a government going to dictate what worldview every child in the state gets? So what is the solution to all of this, Dave? What is the solution to the little conundrum we have on the Kansas school board that's gone back and forth since 1999? What is the solution? Should the government attempt to control the minds and indoctrinate the worldview of the next generation by education? Here's my solution. I'm just going to run it by you and see what you think. I think the solution to this whole creation evolution problem is dissolve the Kansas school board.
That's a good first step, but I think it only works if fathers will disciple their children as they rise up, as they lie down, and as they walk along the road. You do need to train children.
And we're back to Deuteronomy 6:7 one more time. Folks, we've been talking about creation and evolution. I hope you've enjoyed our discussion today. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this program. Hang in there. Folks, we are back. This is Generations. Today, the subject is creation and evolution. What do we teach our children, and what in the world is going on in Kansas? In Kansas, the school board has just incorporated a requirement that the curricula include at least some questions about the theory of evolution. And Dave, you know, I think this comes back to where we start. If you jettison God from your consciousness and from origins, well, the Bible says we become fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God.
And just to make sure you catch that, that's in the Psalms twice.
Yeah, exactly. Just in case you didn't get the memo. St. Augustine said, I believe in order to understand. And I think this is one problem a lot of people have, some that may be listening to the program right now, is that we all start with something. You don't start with nothing. Your mind starts with something. The question is, are you starting with the assumption of man and his omniscience? That is, that man knows everything. Are you starting with the assumption that man knows everything? Or are you starting with the assumption of God and his omniscience, that he knows everything? This is the major battle in the area of truth today. Are we starting with man, or are we going to start with God?
And to put a sharper point on it, is not just that man knows everything, that man can know everything, that everything is knowable to man. And that may or may not be true. I would say there are certain truths that are too great for man to comprehend. It is like this. If I were to go to your beagle.
My beagle.
Your beagle. Right. And I were to ask your beagle about your wedding, Kevin. Your beagle wouldn't know much about your wedding. A, yeah. It wasn't there. I don't even think it was alive when you got married.
No, Gussie was not alive, right? She's only 3 years old. We've been married for 15.
Okay. Now, Gussie couldn't tell me anything about your wedding. In fact, I've had this conversation with Gussie, and she denies that you were ever even married because she sees no evidence for your marriage.
Wow. Well, that's good.
In fact, Kevin, not only does Gussie think you didn't get married, Gussie, your beagle, denies that you exist. She doesn't think there is a Kevin.
But that's not fair. I feed her every day.
But that's just chance. And I know you provide her a house. But see, she doesn't see that it's your house.
But I do exist. I am this beagle's owner, and I feed this beagle. So what's the deal with the beagle?
The beagle is denying Kevin.
And sometimes we deny God, don't we?
Even though he provides for us. Every single day. And by the way, she won't let me introduce any doubt into the argument. She's very protective about that. It would seem to me if I wanted to know about your wedding, I would do much better to go to you rather than to Gussie.
Yeah, and we should go to God because I think he was there. From all reports, he was there and he was involved.
At least he claims to be, which is different than Gussie.
Folks, a worldview shift occurs when you stop interpreting the Bible by rock layers and you begin to interpret rock layers by the Bible, God's Word. And that's when the shift is going to occur among Catholics and Protestants. Because let's face it, the Cardinal at the Vatican is listening to a Protestant, Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin was a Protestant. So finally the Catholics are catching up with the Protestants. But they're both wrong because they're interpreting the Bible by rock layers instead of interpreting the rock layers by God's Word. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to encourage you to teach your children God's Word as you walk by the way, as you rise up, and as you lie down. This is Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. There's a resource that can help you. I think it's a fantastic book on this subject, and that is When You Rise Up by our friend R.C. Sproul Jr. That's When You Rise Up by R.C. Sproul Jr. You can get this book by calling 877-842-CHECK. That's 877-842-CHEC or checkbooks.com on the web. That's checkbooks.com, checkbooks.com. You can interact with us by emailing me, Kevin at check.org. That's Kevin at check.org. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.